The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors, and we want to hear your experiences. Give us a call here. Don't make us incentivize your phone call. Just give us a call. Let us know what you're doing out there, how the waterfowl's going for you. If you've seen, are you seeing any birds? Are you, you know, I've talked to people in certain hot spots, former hot spots, that are just not having birds fly by. You know, and where are the ducks, and where are the geese? And that's the questions we get, you know, all the time. And I don't have the answer. I'm not a duck or a goose. I don't know what motivates them to come to Maryland. So maybe some of you do that are out there in the field, and maybe you can help us out with that. Maybe you're staying at home today, and just you know, you're listening here, and you want to weigh in. We'd love to hear you weigh in and hear your opinion. So, you know, how was your deer season? How's your waterfowl season going? Did you do any small game hunting? Do you know turkey season's coming back in for the winter next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Did you know that? We've got a winter turkey season here in Maryland statewide. So, you know, just give us a call here and give us a shot. 410-922-6680. WCBM 680 is our phone number. 922-6680. There's Brian on the Eastern Shore talking about hunting. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, we're heading out with our Wounded Warrior hunt this morning.
Okay, good.
Six guys from across the U.S.
Wonderful.
Purple Heart recipients.
Mm-hmm.
And we're wishing all the guys that are out there hunting as well in the area with groups in the best of luck.
What group is sponsoring this, Brian?
It's Wounded Warriors in Action Hunt. It's sponsored by, actually, our hunt club. It's called the Circle W Hunt Club here on the shore.
Okay, good.
The Circle W. And relatives. And,
good.
This is our fifth year doing it. And,
good.
It's a great thing, and people should consider it.
Well, great, Brian. Well, look, why don't you get your club members together and come down and join us in Annapolis on February 4th for Blaze and Camo Day. Bring some Wounded Warriors down, and we'll meet with lawmakers, and, you know, we'll have a good time. And then on March 26th in Westminster, we have our the Maryland Hunting Coalition dinner and benefit. Get you guys, you know, get a table and come on up and take a chance to win some firearms and some hunting trips and some great stuff up there.
Sounds good.
All right. Yeah, you just go to mdhuntingcoalition.org and you have all the information, or you can send me an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and we'll take care of that for you. Brian, you enjoy your day. Tell those guys that from the Outdoorsman Show listeners that we said thank you for your service, and we wish them much success in the field today.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Brian. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. There he goes. Let's talk to Rich in Westminster. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I called you pretty regular, but I called you in the fall. I asked you, I told you my wife was given a handgun and asked you what the first step should be for her.
How'd you make out?
You gave me Frank Hall's number. I called him, and my wife and I are taking the class today.
Well, there you go. Yep, I talked to Frank the other day. He's a good man.
Yes, he seems to be. I talked to him at length on the phone several times.
Good. Good for you, Rich. Well, good. Yep, Frank's a good guy. He can help you with any and all that stuff that's going on, and we're just pleased to know Frank and his dedication to the sportsmen in Maryland. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So okay.
All right. Thanks,
well, good, Alan. Rich. Thanks. Let us know how you make out.
All right, will do.
All right, take care. Bye bye. There you go. Let's talk to Jerry in Dundalk. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Okay. You asked the question. Why do you think ducks come and migrate to Maryland?
No, I was asking where they are and why haven't they gotten here yet.
Oh, okay. But, well, the reason why I think they might migrate in Maryland, because maybe they could stomach a little cooler type climate rather than going further south.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Sure.
All right.
I'm not a duck.
Have you been to Canada to hunt? Did you ever go down south to hunt?
I have not. I would love to go on a Florida hog hunt, turkey hunt, gator hunt. I like to do that.
Deer hunt. They have deer there, too.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. Well, we have a lady who advertised in the magazine who has a home down there. And last time I talked to her...
She wants you to go down there.
Well, no, not necessarily. She was telling me about the great deer she has in her area down there. And her home is for sale. It's a beautiful house, and the price is absolutely spectacular. It's 18 acres with the availability to buy another 11 or no, another, let's see.
How much and where in Florida?
It's 22 acres. The 11.95, the 12 acres on the spot plus the house is, I believe, just under $300,000, if I remember right.
And where exactly in Florida?
It is in northwest Florida near the Florida-Georgia line.
Okay. The first time I went to Florida was 1978.
Six miles east of Chattahoochee.
Right, it's the Panhandle, that's what they call it. And you wouldn't have two extra tickets left for the farm show building for that show?
Jerry, you're going to have to call in next week.
Oh, I tried.
Well, no, you tried right now, but yeah, I know, but try next week.
Okay, sir.
All right, Jerry, thanks. Okay, I guess he just left, huh? Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Morning, Al. I am mid-chew, if you will.
Mid-chew. What are you having for today?
I called specifically to tell you about my breakfast here.
Oh, of course you did.
Got me some toasted pretzel rolls, eggs over easy, some home fries, and my first venison sausage in 2 years.
Now, were you successful, and this is your venison?
Yes, it was. Got a button buck last Friday morning.
Ah, good. Now, do you process your own, or do you have somebody do it for you?
No, I use that fellow up in Wharton. I think you know who I mean.
I do. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does a nice job. So, good, 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 good.
So,
well,
yeah,
so you're having a venison breakfast sausage, and what else did you tell me?
Eggs over easy, potatoes, you know, home fried, pretzel roll, and some coleslaw, man.
Oh, man. All right.
You're listening to you. There ain't no better way to start a Saturday.
Ah, you're making me hungry. But that's okay. All right, brother.
Love what you do, Al. You take care.
Thanks, Frank. See you, buddy.
Bye, buddy.
Good luck out there. Take care. Bye. There he goes. All right. Whoop. Frank in Easton. Good man. I've hunted with Frank. He's a good guy. 410 WCBM 680. I want to hear about your experience. I want to hear about your hunting experience. I want to hear about maybe something not so good that happened. Maybe you found a deer on your property that somebody shot and left lay. Maybe you found a carcass with a head missing. Maybe you found maybe you found something negative out there. Maybe you listened to the last hour and wanted to comment on social media, about social media and what you think about it. I find it very interesting that social media, we have almost 2,500 fans on Facebook on the Maryland Hunting Coalition. And it's interesting, you know, you put this out there and they share it and they're all about it and they like it and they do all this and do all that. And the second you say, hey, we could use some financial support for the coalition, one like, two likes. Be a cheerleader, not a player, I guess is the way it is, but that's okay with me. Let's talk to Gary in Baltimore. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Hi. James Michener's book, Chesapeake.
Chesapeake, yes.
Does it have the canvasback duck pictured on the front?
I can't recall that right now, but it probably does.
I have my doubts.
Why do you have your doubts?
He probably put a Canadian goose on.
Well, maybe he's wrong.
I was wondering if he put a canvasback duck on the front.
Gary, I don't know. I'm not looking at the book right now, and I can't remember it. Maybe somebody else can tell me what he has on the front.
Yeah, James Fisher is Chesapeake.
Yes, Gary, I got that.
Okay.
Yep. We'll see what we can find for you.
Thank you.
All right. But what's your point anyway, Gary?
I was wondering if he had it on front of his cover of his book.
What's the point? Why are you trying to? What are you trying to connect here?
Well, it's going to be the state bird duck. You know.
Yeah. Well, a Canada goose is a goose. It's not a duck.
Or yeah.
Are you aware of anything as far as the history of the canvasback duck in Maryland?
No.
Gary. Hello.
No.
Hello, Gary.
Yeah.
Are you aware of the history of the canvasback duck and its significance to Maryland?
No.
Stay tuned. Presidents and kings have hunted the world-renowned canvasback duck on Maryland's portion of the mighty Chesapeake Bay. Skies would darken over the Susquehanna Flats at the height of their numbers in the 1800s, when wild celery flourished. That's a submerged aquatic vegetation, by the way, an SAV, if you would. In fact, the canvasback species-specific name, vallisinaria, was derived from the specific name for wild celery. So prolific were their numbers that market hunters in the 1870s bagged as many as 1,500 canvasbacks each day and shipped them in canvas bags by boxcar to markets from Baltimore to Boston. The name canvasback may have originated from the early method of shipping the ducks to market. Ironically, it was the sheer numbers of these magnificent birds and their near annihilation that helped inspire Congress to enact the 1918 Migratory Bird Treaty Act, which empowered the federal government to set seasons and bag limits on the hunting of migratory game birds. Accordingly, in the 1950s, 250,000 cans wintered on the Chesapeake Bay represented one half of the entire North American winter population. Today, the Chesapeake harbors only about 50,000, about one-tenth of the estimated North American winter population. Canvasback numbers have substantially declined for several reasons, notably market hunting of yesterday and the degraded water quality adversely impacting the abundance of wild celery today. Market hunting has been addressed via the 1918 Act, but efforts are ongoing to restore the Chesapeake Bay, mainly via the federal-mandated Total Maximum Daily Load, TMDL, and to achieve TMDL goals by 2025, officials calculate a cost projection of $14.4 billion. This investment, they say, will reduce the nitrogen and phosphorus that is killing the bay, especially the vital seagrasses, so that so many species, like the canvasback, depend on for survival. Indeed, Maryland's most tangible return on its multi-billion-dollar Chesapeake Bay investment efforts will be the return of submerged aquatic vegetation, the SAVs. The canvasbacks, should follow. It's time to consider designating the canvasback duck as the official state duck, so says the Howard E. Grace Decoy Museum's executive director, Carrie Nicely, on behalf of the museum's board of directors. Whether hunting for the table or hunting for the market, this premier game bird for centuries sustained many a Maryland family through the long, cold winters. For that reason, the canvasback is the bird most often rendered in wood by decoy carvers throughout this region. With such official designation, the museum is hopeful visitors will be inspired to behold the primary wintering grounds of the canvasback, the Susquehanna Flats, and visit the museum to learn more of the region's unrivaled waterfowl history. If Maryland's bay restoration efforts are successful, is it possible that someday great flocks of canvasbacks may again cover the flats? Ask Alan Ellis, executive director of the Maryland Hunting Coalition. Me, that's me, by the way. By declaring the canvasback duck as the official state duck, a designation supported also by the coalition, Maryland lawmakers will know their decisions in funding Chesapeake Bay restoration strategies and projects will measurably contribute, among other things, to the return of the most revered of all ducks in the Chesapeake Bay, the canvasback duck, known throughout the world as the King of the Chesapeake. Wouldn't that be something? That was our joint press release issued on January 1st by the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum and the Maryland Hunting Coalition. That's just a smidgen of the history of the canvasback here in Maryland. So there you go. For anybody who doesn't know what the history of the canvasback duck and what significance it would be to make it the state duck, we encourage you to visit the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum or visit the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum and look at their waterfowl exhibit, or go to the Ward Museum of Waterfowl Art down in Salisbury and see the rich history of the canvasback and how it was revered around Maryland as the king of the Chesapeake, and it was, and it is. And that's why we'd like to have that as the official state duck of Maryland. And we hope we can get your support on that. All right, let's see. We need to take a break. Let me tell you, folks, about Clyde's Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. You know, we're in the wintertime. We're in the middle of waterfowl season. And there's a couple shotguns I'd like to tell you about. The Maxis. It's an auto loader. That means it's a semi-automatic, so to speak. Waterfowl hunting perfection. 3 and 3.5 inch chambers, accommodates 3 and 3.5 inch shells. It has a new power drive gas system, and it reduces recoil. It comes to the shoulder nicely, and it's a very nice handling firearm. Then there's the A5, the humpback. The hump is back, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. Has a 100,000-round or 5-year guarantee. It's got a kinematic drive system that's operated by the recoil of the shotgun. Ergo Balance comes in blue and walnut. It comes in black synthetic, and it comes in camo as well. Then there's the Gold Light. It's a 10-gauge model. And for those of you who would like that little extra power of the 10-gauge, comes in a 3.5-inch chamber. It's a gas-operated autoloader. It's a composite DuraTouch armor coating that prevents rust and corrosion. It comes in Mossy Oak camo. And it's a 10-gauge called the Gold Light 10-gauge. And finally, for those who like pump-action shotguns, the BPS pump comes in all gauges from 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10-gauge models. 12 and 20-gauge rifle barrel deer models are available, too. It features bottom ejection. Again, comes in that Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo finish and 3 choke tubes with that. All available at Clyde Sports Shop for your waterfowl hunting pleasure. Step up to a Browning. Trade in what you've got and check out all the Browning firearms at Clyde Sports Shop, your hunting headquarters, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108.
The world's largest outdoor sports show is back. It's the Great American Outdoor Show, presented by Outdoor Channel, February 6th to the 14th in Harrisburg, with something for the whole family celebrating the great outdoor tradition. An NRA country jam featuring Justin Moore, interactive exhibits, a world of family fun with celebrities, demos, games, contests, gear, and more. Chase the adventure at the Great American Outdoor Show. Tickets on sale now at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
Your hands start shaking. Your heart gets to pumping. Your knees get to knocking, and your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? Buck fever, gonna get you, boy. Buck fever, have you praying to the Lord. That rap, that grunt, that stare, that stomp will make you a believer.
All right, we're back, we're back, we're back, we're back. I got a buddy still chasing a really, really, really dandy buck out there. He jumped it the other day walking in. He was, so that goes out to my buddy Dave. He's hunting that big buck real hard. Jumped three bucks together the other day. So, the deer have, assumed their typical, post-hunting season stance of getting together in big bunches now and herding up. It's a survival instinct for the winter. We haven't had the weather that that we sometimes have. So it looks like you're seeing a lot of deer out in the fields together rather than, you know, broken up because of the breeding season over the last couple months. So, you know, it's winding down. We got a few days left in the archery season until January 31st. We got turkey season coming up for 3 days statewide, either sex, and that would be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for wild turkeys. Turkey Federation guys don't like that season much for the most part, but they don't kill that many birds. There's really not that many guys after them. Most people are still trying to kill that last deer in the deer season up until the 31st of January. Of course, the focus changes to waterfowl hunting too. Unfortunately, the waterfowl haven't been here in any numbers this year. There's occasional guys go out there and scratch out a limit of their geese and their ducks and that type of thing. We're seeing reports from the flats that we just talked about there earlier where there's some birds there. Little pockets of birds here and there. Nothing on the lower bay. And, you know, my guy down at his little point blind there on a little chop tank, he's got nothing. Nothing. So, you know, little pockets of birds here, little pockets of birds there. Keep trying. And, you know, we'll probably go out one day next week. Jake's off a couple days of school next week. So we'll probably go out and I've got to, you know, get that confirmed today. So, you know, it's just been a tough season for both deer hunters and for waterfowl hunters. I mean, we've killed a fair number of deer, but it's just not seeing the numbers of deer, just not seeing them. I've had a great season. I'm not kicking about my season one bit, but I go out on the off days. I've got a business that allows me to hunt, you know, a half a day here or a day there and, you know, take a little time and go out when the weather's right. And got enough stands out there that can play the wind. If I got a south wind one day, I hunt one place. If I got a west wind the next day, I hunt another stand. And, you know, just, I took one real nice buck. Everything else has been antlerless. Took a sick of deer, and I'm just really happy. I spent a lot of quality time with my grandson this year again, and I plan on doing that, continue to do that to the end of the season. So, you know, we're just doing what we can do and scratching out what we can scratch out. I had a great sea duck hunt. Got those in the freezer. We're going to get some recipes on sea ducks and figure out how to eat them and enjoy them. And if anybody has a recipe out there they'd like to share, feel free to do that. You can do it on email. You can call here in the show and tell me what you like like Frank did, tell me about eating, you know, venison breakfast sausage and just making my mouth water for the rest of the show. So that's good. But, you know, we've got sika deer in the freezer. We've got whitetail in the freezer. We've got some game. Oh, I did the rabbit hunt. We got rabbits in the freezer. So, you know, it's all good. I've had a good season. I can't complain. You just got to get out there and do it. So, you know, come on, folks. If you got any stories about your season, we'd love to hear them. Did you get a nice buck? Did you have an adventure? What are you looking forward for the fishing season? You know, that's right around the corner. So, you know, we're waiting for your phone call, 410, WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Email Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. We got a couple emails going on right now. I just had a big sneeze that you didn't hear, I hope. But, you know, see what happens. Let's talk about NBS Seafood just for a quick note here. Crayfish have arrived from Louisiana at NBS Seafood, and they do have the whole frozen soft crabs while they're still available. I'm sure they hammered them pretty hard over the holidays, but they have a few. And NBS Seafood is located at 1223 Dorsey Road, and that's in Glen Burnie, right down there by the airport. They're also stocked with frozen Maryland crab meat, live oysters, and the shell are fresh shucked pints, live Louisiana crabs, frozen Gulf shrimp, gator sausage, and many other items for your enjoyment. That's right. The owner, Bill, has had recent back surgery. He's not able to be at the shop as much as he was, so the hours are limited from Fridays from 2 to 6, today from 10 to 6, and tomorrow from 10 to 5. And, of course, they honor all the credit cards and EBT and cash as well. Here's the phone number for NBS, and it stands for No Bull Stuff Seafood. 410-271-3202. 271-3202. I mean, if you need some crabs or you need some stuff for, you know, for something going on special and you can't get there during the regular hours, give them a call. They'll try to make arrangements to meet with you at your convenience. 410-271-3202. That's NBS Seafood in Glen Burnie, that's for sure. Did I tell you about our sale down at the Chesapeake Outdoor Store there on the Kent Island? Oh, my gosh. They've got all the Mossberg guns on sale. I mean, great, great, great prices on Mossberg firearms. I mean, great prices on Mossberg firearms. The big thing is all the outdoor apparel. You know, the weather wasn't all that cold, but they've got to order their winter stuff way ahead of time. So they've got a huge selection of Drake waterfowl clothing. You know, if that old hunting jacket's worn out, or you know, you need a new pair of bibs or something like that, I urge you to take a look at the Drake waterfowl clothing. They're at 40% off today. 40% off at Chesapeake Outdoors this weekend on all their outdoor apparel. Yes, indeed. They've got some other brands there too as well that can that you'll enjoy. But check out the 40% savings on Drake waterfowl and other hunting apparel. Avery decoys are on sale too. Avery decoys, and don't forget, Chesapeake Outdoors will do your goose and duck picking. So if you know, four guys kill a limit, and you got to take all your eight geese in there, well, you drop them off, go have lunch, and come back and pick up your geese. Whether you want them plucked whole or you want them breasted out or whatever you want, they'll do it for your ducks and for your geese. All this at Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East. That's exit 39B, Dominion Road, 39B, right off Route 50 on Kent Island. So check it out. Give them a call, too, if you want, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500. All right. Jeff in Baltimore, good morning. Where'd you go last time?
Oh, yes, sir. I had an emergency at work here. Just poor timing. Absolutely nothing going on for 7 hours. And then,
of course.
Right, naturally.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I located
myself in a place, sequestered myself, we'll leave it at that, where this won't happen. Anyway, the movie The Revenant, that's a good, awesome movie, and if you see it at a particular theater in the city of Towson, you will enjoy it because it is a huge theater with huge screens.
All right. Well, let me ask now, what my question was, does it compare with the old Robert Redford movie, Jeremiah Johnson?
Well, I haven't seen that in a while, and I have seen it, and that is certainly one of the classics, and top outdoor movies, and I was thinking about your question as I was continuing my work, and I said, well, it's kind of these type of movies are, they're all good, especially the outdoorsmen, but they don't come along only a few times every, you know, during every 5 years, so it's kind of just like a cyclical thing, I think.
Right.
So they're all enjoyable to somebody who appreciates the photography and the on location. Yeah. And
I started to say, when you got called away, the Jeremiah Johnson was just a spectacular feat of cinematography. I mean, I love the, I love that where it was filmed and that type of thing. And of course, The Revenant is also based on a true story.
Yes, and it is naturally with some the photographer, cinematographer is a famous one too. And like I said, on the big HD screen, it's not fake. Except for the bear was a CG bear, one of these
right computer graphics, of course. Yeah.
Otherwise, the scenery and the story, it was kind of brutal. It's you won't walk out of there with a smile on your face, but you'll be pretty amazed by what you just saw.
Sure. Well, you know the that time in our history, where the era of the mountain men, where they made their living going out and trapping and hunting and dealing with the. The frontier, dealing with the great unknown, so to speak. I mean, it was an allure that pulled these men to the West, to the Rocky Mountains, and to live that lifestyle. I mean, who knows what they were, what their personalities were, what kind of personalities they had, but to go out there and live off the land and to trap and to, you know, make your living by trapping and hunting and, you know, your subsistence by, you know, having to kill what you eat. I mean, it's
right.
pretty amazing. And then, of course, the confrontations with the Native American tribes of the day that didn't necessarily like you that much.
Right. That was obviously one thing that today, if you're an outdoorsman and you can kind of do, I guess, what these people he was doing, but that was something that you. There was certainly they can get you could be killed as well as killed here these days. Hopefully that wouldn't happen to you. You could still look out for animals and accidents.
I was at dinner last night with a friend who's in his early 30s, and he was talking about hunting. You know, even him as a kid, it wasn't as it is today. He said, look. He said, you go out there, and he said, you got your trail cameras and you got your, you know, all your technology and everything else. You sit there. And I said, yeah, I said, we go sit in a deer stand and you know, we pick them off when they walk by. I said, man, when I was a kid, I hunted. I would go out in the woods and walk. Sometimes I didn't know where I was, you know, and I had to get back by my own resources to deal with the mountains and deal with the snow and deal with the tracking the game and all that stuff that I had to do. And I remember one day I must have been, maybe 15 or 16. I know my dad was somewhere, but I got on a buck track and I think I wound up making a 4 or 5 mile circle. And I knew I never saw the buck, but I knew I was on him because I could read his tracks. I could tell. And at one point, he jumped a fence that was in the woods. I mean, this was, you know, kind of on top of a ridge. It was a piece of property and there was a wooden fence there. And I looked and I said, where did his tracks go? And they were just gone. Just gone on one side of this fence. And I mean, they were gone for, I stepped it off. That deer jumped 30 feet to clear that fence. 30 feet. Now, you imagine a forward jump of a deer spanning 30 feet over, you know, a 4-foot fence or 5-foot fence or whatever it was. I had to be close to him for him to make that jump. You know, I mean, I just didn't see him. And I would read, I would learn about what these successful hunters would do. And, you know, the deer will double back on you. And if you're tracking one, you know, you step off to the side of the trail and look ahead because you might see him standing up there. And I've caught up to him just walking him on their tracks in the snow. I've caught up to him and, you know, could have taken a deer a couple times like that. And just people don't do that stuff anymore. You know, they go, I'm going out to stand number 4. I'll be out there, you know, I'm going out 2:30 and I won't be back. You know, I'll be back at dark. But there's no woodsmanship. There's no craftsmanship and woods craft, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
You know, you got to go out there. You got to find the tracks. You got to find the rubs, the scrapes, and the and where the deer are moving, and the doe trails, and the buck trails, and the intersections, and the pinch points, and the, you know, that choke points, and all that stuff. People don't even know what I'm talking about when I talk about all that stuff. The funnels and the, you know, but oh well. Anyway,
well,
Jeff,
is that an improv right now? Is that impossible to do? Or
nope. It's not.
Just don't do it.
Nope, it's not impossible to do. Here's what you do. All right, you've got permission to hunt a property, so deer season's over, and now you go back and you look for all the evidence of the deer that you didn't see during the deer season. You go back out there now and you scout and you go, "Oh, my stand is in the wrong place. Oh, this is where the deer were moving. Oh, here's a hole in the hedgerow. Oh." But you can't do that just by going the same time, the same place to every stand every time you go out there. You know, you just got to go out and walk your property. You know, you might be on a 10-acre spot, and you walk in one way the whole time because you went in there and saw a deer one time, so you put a stand up. Well, what's on the other side of that hedgerow? What's on the other side of that thicket? What happens if you walk a little bit further and come in the other side of the property and, hey, look, I didn't know this water hole was here. I didn't know this marsh was here. You know, and you got to learn a little bit about deer biology. You got to learn a little bit about, you know, what they do in the woods when you're not there. You know, they eat, they sleep, and they go to water. That's pretty much it. They only require food, water, and cover. That's the only thing they require. What you've got to do is learn how to intercept them during their daily routine. What trail goes to the agriculture crops? What trail goes to the oak flat? You know, if there's acorns. What trail goes to the food plot? You know, where do I put my trail camera if you want to use your trail camera? And what am I going to see? And it's the whole hunting thing is just fascinating to me. That's all.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed listening to you on that.
Well, okay. All right, Jeff.
Yeah.
I appreciate your call.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And that's what those guys did. That's what those mountain men did. Hey, Camo Preacher, how are you? You want to talk about the movie?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I'm a little confused about why they keep comparing it to Robert Redford's movie.
I did that. I'm not.
You did. Well,
I did
it's
that.
Been coming out of Hollywood, I've been following. I first saw the production of this about 2 years ago, and I've been following, you know, the progress of it until it came out. But this movie is actually based on a movie that Richard Harris starred in called Man in the Wilderness.
I remember that, yeah.
Back in 1971. It's the same exact story. They're on an exploration of the West trying to find waterways and pathways to get, you know, to the West. And he's attacked by a bear and left for dead.
Right.
But, so, you know, I mean, I really like the Robert Redford movie. I watch it a lot, but I don't see the comparison, really.
I don't either. I haven't seen The Revenant, but Robert Redford movie is my favorite movie.
Yeah,
I'm not comparing one for the other. I just asked Jeff a simple question, if it was on the same par.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, no, actually, but, you know, just to let you know, people from Hollywood keep making that comparison also. They keep referencing you know, the Mountain Man movie with Robert Redford also, Jeremiah Johnson. So I'm not sure why they started making that comparison, except that I guess they figure that Robert Redford is more important than Richard Harrison. I don't know. Maybe it's a political thing with Hollywood. But
Russ, you're reading way too much into it, buddy.
Okay.
Way too much. That's all.
Okay.
All right. Just enjoy the movie and forget about Hollywood.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
So I think it's worth seeing, and I highly recommend it.
Good. All right, brother. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
See ya. Bye-bye. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, is your hunting headquarters for Browning Firearms. Indeed. But they're also your fishing headquarters, too. Fishing season's coming up. You can get your license. And you can take your rods and reels in there and get that guide put on or get that tip repaired or get that reel lubricated and cleaned up and filled with new fresh line so you can face those fish head on this year and just make sure you know, you're ready for them. You can stock up on striper gear and trout bait and little twisters for crappies and white perch and all that stuff. Fishing season is right now. Not just around the corner, but right now. And, you know, you can get out there if you get some open water, and you can go out and enjoy yourself even today. Just got to find the right spot. The ponds aren't necessarily frozen. Probably will be next week, but not right now. And you can enjoy your day out there fishing. Well, Clyde Sport Shop has all that stuff. And they even have a 24-hour fishing hotline. That's 247-3474. 247-FISH is the 24-hour fishing hotline. So get geared up for fishing season at Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108 is Clyde's Sport Shop.
The world's largest outdoor sports show is back. It's the Great American Outdoor Show, presented by Outdoor Channel, February 6th to the 14th in Harrisburg, with over 200 seminars from your favorite hunting and fishing pros, like Chris Brackett, Lee and Tiffany, Sean Grigsby, Heartland Bowhunter, Mike Iaconelli, Ish Monroe, Pigman, Matt Moret, and many more. Chase the adventure at the Great American Outdoor Show. Tickets on sale now at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know, Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hear this week's top newsmakers and a panel of expert political analysis on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, Sundays at 5 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
How high is the water, Mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. Well, we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, cause that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all of wheat and oats, 2 feet high and rising.
Well, Johnny Cash there for a little 2 feet high and rising, yep. We did have some rain last night, did we not? Oh, my gosh. All right, we have time for a couple more calls. 410-922-6680 is our phone number, 410-WCBM-680. One more call maybe. Tell us about where you're headed today or where you're going next week. You're going to take a long weekend and go hunting next week. You're going to go for waterfowl on Monday. It's supposed to be, like 20 degrees or something for a high on the eastern shore on Monday and Tuesday. Going to be a little chilly out there, that's for sure. So any luck on that? Okay, Bethany's looking for something for us here, so we'll let her keep searching, and we'll just wait for your calls. But, yeah, the woodsmanship thing is something that's been lost. I mean, look, I love hunting rabbits with beagles. I do. My buddy Charles Rodney, he just emailed me while we were on the air. He's got a story for me to run in the magazine, and it's just, you know, it's just a great fun time for everybody to let those dogs work and let those guys, let the dogs go out. I've hunted behind 5 and 6 beagles at one time. And, we just, with my buddy Dale from Easton, and we've had some terrific, rabbit hunts. And, But when I was a kid, that's how I started. That's how I started hunting. Was hunting rabbits. Okay, I actually started with a BB gun on squirrels. I mean, red squirrels and chipmunks and stuff. But that's okay. The rabbit hunting thing always caught me. Always got my attention. And I learned how to hunt rabbits. I learned where rabbits hid during all types of weather. And I hunted rabbits exclusively without a dog for a long, long, long time and shot a lot of rabbits. And I learned that on a day like coming up on Monday, if you want to go for rabbits, where are you going to find them? Well, a lot of them are going to be in the rabbit holes and groundhog holes hiding until the sun comes out. Sun comes out, warms them up a little bit. They'll come out and move around. You get snow, I know where to hunt rabbits in the snow. I know where they hide under the snow. I know what kind of fields to hunt them in the snow. I've hunted rabbits by looking under creek banks. I've hunted rabbits in the swamps. I've hunted rabbits in plowed fields. I've hunted rabbits in green grass fields that didn't look like they'd hide a chipmunk. I've hunted rabbits anywhere in any kind of habitat. I've hunted them in the woods. I've hunted them on strip mines. I've hunted rabbits anywhere and anywhere you can go by myself or with somebody without dogs, and we've been successful at it. We lose that. We lose that woodsmanship. We lose that craftsmanship being passed down from generation to generation, from mentor to student. And that's, you know, that's what hunting is all about. It's not about, hey, look, I can have my trail camera send a picture to my Apple Watch and I can see what time of day the deer are coming to my stand while I'm at work. Well, what the hell good does that do you? If you're at work and you got a picture of a deer on your watch, if you're not in the stand, just saying. But I don't know if we've evolved or devolved. And I will tell you another factor that is just outdoor TV. We're out here in Iowa with such and such and so famous hunting personalities. And we've been watching the trail cameras and we're hunting with such and such a guide service. And he's got $4 on the hit list. And here's this one, Curly Joe. And here's this one, Smokey Bob. And here's this one, Split Brow. And here's this one, that one, and this one, and that one. Why can't you just go hunting and enjoy the day? You know, why do you have to target one particular deer? Nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want to do, if you want to pursue one deer all season and you want to find out when he's on your trail camera and you want to try and outsmart him and you finally get a shot at him, good. Just do your homework. Do your homework. Do what you got to do on that. But the hunting television shows, okay, well, you know, this is our second day in the stand and, you know, or this is our next, we only have 2 days to hunt. And here we are in the evening of the last day and it's, you know, we don't, here he comes. There he is. He's coming. There you go. Bang, shot, done, it's over. Not real life, folks. Just not to me. And I think I'm ranting. So let's talk to Donna in Pasadena. Good morning, Donna. How are you, dear?
I'm well, and how are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay, I guess a general question about deer.
Yes, ma'am.
I back up to woods, and I haven't seen them in a long, long time. I enjoy them. I mean, a lot of people just, you know, they're overrunning everything, and la-di-da-di-da, eating my flowers.
They're only overrunning things when they affect you.
Exactly, and who is here first?
Oh, well, I'm not worried about that, but tell me what your story is.
I haven't seen them in a while.
Uh-huh.
And I just,
How long is a while?
Oh, months. Yeah, I thought I'd see them during rutting season, but, you know, didn't even see them then.
Hmm.
But out of curiosity is, there's usually like 5 or 6 in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And one time there was one, it was brick red. It was so, I couldn't get over the color.
Mm-hmm.
Brick red.
Yep.
That's not unusual.
What's that again? Say it again.
That kind of coloring.
Oh, there are variations in the coat color of a deer and squirrels and everything else. I mean, they don't all have to look exactly the same. They're not all cookie cutters.
Ah, right, of course.
You know, there are different genetic properties that come in and that type of thing. So,
yeah. You were just talking about rabbit, and pardon if this sounds like a silly question.
Yeah.
Once you get them, what do you do with them? Do you eat them?
Oh, absolutely. They're delicious.
Oh, huh?
Well, they don't taste exactly like chicken. They taste like rabbit, and they're spectacular. I like them.
That's great.
But let me tell you something about the coat of a deer. Here's something you may or may not know.
Okay.
Okay. In the summertime, that coat is red because that's the color of the foliage, and they can blend in with that. In the wintertime, they're gray. And the difference between the coat is this. In the summertime, the deer's hair is short and three times as dense as it is in the wintertime. And that is to prevent bug bites and things like that.
I'll be darned.
In the wintertime, the hair is hollow and longer, and it acts as an insulator. That's why deer can lay in the snow.
Okay.
Okay, and it's longer than the summer coat. So, I mean, a transition from summer to winter, winter to summer is pretty cool.
I'll be darned.
Now you know. How about that?
That's super.
Yeah. Do you know how deer have glands on their foreheads? They have glands on their eyes. They have glands. Let's see. Where else do they have them? Glands on their hind legs. Two different sets. They have glands between their toes, and all of them serve to communicate with other deer.
Wow.
Between their toes, interdigital glands. They leave a scent trail behind so that deer know where another deer has walked.
Uh-huh.
And if the deer are alarmed, there's a difference in the scent so that those deer will avoid that area.
I'm sorry.
How do you like that?
I like it.
People need to know these things. People need to learn these things.
Yeah, nature. Right.
All right, Donna, got to go. Thanks for the call.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. There she goes. And we'll go out with this. Well, why don't we play this then? Oh, wait a minute. I can't hear you. Okay, technical delay here, folks. Okay, so I've got about 15 seconds, right? Okay, I got about 15 seconds to talk. I can do that. mdhuntingcoalition.org. Join us on February 4th from 9 to 11 in Annapolis at Lawyers Mall. All the information's on the website. Okay? Here we go.
There's a door into another land. Here is our life and home.